Greetings and peace. This is Dr. Lawrence Brown coming to you with another episode of Interfaith Issues, where we discuss the issues of common interest to the three Abrahamic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The talk today actually is going to be an extension of a talk that I gave earlier called Where is the Christ in Christianity? But to begin this talk, we have to step back a little bit. We have to step back to my childhood. I was born and raised in San Francisco in the 60s and 70s. Now, those of you who know much about American history and culture know that this was the birthplace of the hippie era. The flower children, as they were called, the hippies, started their movement in the Haight-Ashbury and in the area of Golden Gate Park, which were only about 3 or 4 blocks away from my home. So I grew up in this age of tune in, turn on, drop out. As described by Timothy Leary, it was an age in which people were turning to pursuing whatever hedonistic pleasures they wanted. And this was the time that the teaching started to be talked about, where people were saying you can do anything as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Well, of course we know that that is not true. You cannot do anything as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. There are rules and there are laws and there are regulations. And above the rules of society are, of course, the rules of God. But the thing that I remember most from this period, growing up close to the epicenter of the hippie movement, was the what were called the Jesus freaks. The Jesus freaks were the hippies who were devoted to emulating the example of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, there was one house of worship nearby called the House of Peace and Love, which was a non-denominational house devoted to emulating the example of Jesus Christ and promoting the values of peace and love in society. Well, why do I start upon this talk? The reason I choose this as a beginning is because I noticed with interest that these people who were trying to emulate the example of Jesus Christ, they were trying to look like he looked, live as he lived, and promote the values that he reportedly taught in the Bible, these people basically became virtual outcasts from the society that I lived in. Now, part of that might have been the time. Part of it might have been the sensitivities to the hippies and the fact that they were sort of on the fringe of society. But since that time, if a person is too religious, if a person is too visibly religious, they almost seem to become a social outcast. Now, since that time, I grew up to about the age of 35, living in a society that did not really promote very strong religious values, at least in the circle that I was living in. And it wasn't until around the age of 35 that I became religiously introspective, religiously serious. It wasn't until that age that I started to investigate religion. As I investigated religion, one of the things that really disturbed me was the fact that I would go to, well, to begin with, I started learning first about Judaism and then Christianity. And what disturbed me was that I would look at the examples that people were setting for themselves, for their families, for their children, and I would be disturbed by the fact that in many cases they were not exemplifying the values of the prophet they professed to follow. In the Christian churches in particular, I remember going to the Christian churches of a variety of sects and looking around and thinking, where in all of this do I find the example of Jesus Christ? Where do I find the appearance, the manners, the teachings? Now, let me give an example. everybody out there, if you can take a moment, just close your eyes and make a picture in your mind of what you imagine Jesus Christ to have looked like. Now that picture is going to be the product of what you have seen in paintings, what you have seen in statues, what you have seen in stained glass, what you have seen in murals, but I can practically promise you that whatever you have seen and wherever you have seen it, Jesus Christ had something that most Christians don't have. And if you are honest with the picture that you are looking at in your mind, that thing that you are seeing is a beard. Very few Christians, in my experience, wear beards anymore. If we practice the same exercise, close our eyes, imagine the mother of Jesus, Mary, and draw a mental picture of Mary, and think real hard, and be honest with ourselves and say, what did her hair look like? Well, what did her hair look like? It is difficult to imagine because practically every painting, every mosaic, every statue shows Mary covered, wearing a headscarf. Now, of course, it goes beyond this. If we zoom out and we don't look at the faces, but we look at the whole person, have we ever seen Jesus Christ wearing shorts or a muscle shirt? Have we ever seen Mary wearing something with her midriff exposed or a knee-length skirt? No. Both set the example of modesty of their time. Both were dressed from the wrists to the ankles in clothing that was loose, not form-fitting, not revealing. Now, we're just discussing the appearance, and that is not the biggest issue. A larger issue would be the manners. We find that Jesus focused on salvation. He was not a worldly man. Not an example common to find in this time. But if you do find it, if you do find somebody who is focused on speaking about salvation, who walks into a conversation about cars or last night's television program or what the latest rock star is doing or the latest celebrity who decompensated and just wiped out mentally or whatever, enters one of these frivolous conversations and tries to turn it to religion, we all know these people, and we all know that they are shunned. They are shunned by their friends, by their co-workers, basically by society, because it is not popular to speak of religion or of the things that lead to salvation. And yet, this was the example of the prophet Jesus. When you think back over these few things that I have just mentioned, try to put it into context. And ask yourselves, where do you see these values best exemplified? In the example of Christians or in the examples of Muslims? Who tends to wear a beard as an element of their faith? In which religion do we find the women covered? In which religion do we find the men and women alike dressing modestly? In which religion do we find the speakers of the religion soft-spoken, dedicated to speaking about salvation and about religion and turning away from frivolous talks? In which religion do we find them bidding peace to one another? Jesus Christ taught his disciples to greet one another with a greeting of peace in Luke 10:5. Well, where do we find that example? Where do we find followers greeting one another with peace. Not only did Jesus Christ teach his disciples to greet one another with peace, but four times in the Bible he set the example by actually doing so and actually greeting with peace be upon you, or with peace. Where do we find this in this day, if not among the Muslims, who greet one another with assalamu alaikum and wa alaikum salam, peace be upon you and upon you be peace. We're going to take a break right now. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
I feel the peace inside of me.
This is Dr. Brown returning to you with this episode of Interfaith Issues. We are discussing a continuation of my previous talk on Where is the Christ in Christianity? And we are comparing the example of the prophet Jesus Christ and where we find that example best exemplified, in the example of the Christians or in the example of the Muslims. We have discussed the fact that in appearance, Jesus Christ was known to have been bearded. His mother, Mary, was known to have covered. Examples that we find better exemplified in the Muslim community than in the Christian community. In addition, they both dressed with modesty, and they exemplified the manners of humility, sincerity, and kindness. In addition, Jesus Christ taught his followers the greeting of peace, and then set the example for them. Four times in the Bible, he gave his disciples this greeting, and this established this practice as one of the manners of Christianity. But again, this is a manner that we find better exemplified among the Muslims, who greet one another with the greeting of peace, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam, peace be upon you, and upon you be peace. Now, this is a discussion of appearance, and after that, manners. But now let's talk about something more serious. Let's talk about religious practices. To begin with, it may seem like a small point, but it was very major at the time, that Jesus Christ was circumcised. This was part of the Abrahamic covenant. It was an important religious ritual. Paul, on the other hand, negated it. As a result, we find many Christians in this time following the example of Paul, or following the teachings of Paul, rather than following the example and teachings of their own prophet, Jesus Christ. Whereas we find this tradition maintained to this day among Muslims. In a similar fashion, Jesus Christ was known as Rabbi Jesus. He was an Orthodox Jew. He lived and practiced and taught the law of that time, Mosaic law. He did not eat pork. Who follows that example in this time, if not the Muslims? Pork is very prevalent in Christian societies to the point where nobody even thinks about its prohibition anymore. Jesus Christ did not take or give usury. Interest was forbidden. And everybody knows the story of Jesus Christ having overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple. Whether this was related to usury or not, we cannot say. But what we can say is that usury was one of the greatest sins of the time of Jesus Christ. And yet we now find Christian societies based upon usury. We find everybody so dependent upon taking and giving interest in their monetary dealings that they practically cannot live without it. Whereas on the other hand, we find Muslim societies functioning on the level of Islamic banking, and we find interest is not an element of Muslim financial dealings. Let's take another example, extramarital contact with women. Jesus Christ was a man of modesty. He did not have any recorded extramarital contact with women. Possibly there may have been contact, we may speculate, in the process of delivering sacraments or healing. However, there is no clear documentation of any extramarital contact. How do we compare that with what we see in modern-day societies, where in Christian countries, extramarital contact between the sexes has become the norm rather than the exception? Again, in Islamic societies, you do not find this to be the case. You find Muslims living in a manner that is more compatible with the example of Jesus Christ. With each section that I'm discussing here, I'm getting deeper into the more important points. We started with appearance, then manners. We started talking about religious practices. Now let's talk about practices of worship, an even more important issue. It is recorded that Jesus Christ was an Orthodox Jew. In accordance with the practices of his time, he made ablution as part of worship. Read in Exodus 40, 31 through 32, where Moses and Aaron made ablution. This was the practice of the righteous of the time. A practice, again, that has not been maintained, but is to be found among the Muslims, in the Islamic community. Jesus Christ prayed in prostration. Read the whole Bible. Read the whole Bible and look for any passage that describes the manner of prayer, the manner in which Jesus Christ prayed. The only description you will find is when Jesus Christ went into the Garden of Gethsemane and fell on his face in prayer. Prostration. Prostration described for Jesus Christ in the same way that it was described in the Old Testament for the Old Testament patriarchs and prophets. Jesus Christ fasted for more than a month at a time, again, following the example of the righteous before him. And he made pilgrimage for the purpose of worship, pilgrimage in his time having been to Jerusalem. Now, we have just gone down a list of some of the greatest integrals of worship. Ibadah in Arabic, worship in English, ablution before prayer, purifying yourself before praying, fasting, and pilgrimage. Again, where do we find these examples better maintained among the followers, among the Christian community, or among the Muslims who make ablution before prayer, who pray in prostration, who fast the month of Ramadan, 1 month every year, and who make pilgrimage to Mecca as an article of worship? Now, everything that I have mentioned is important, but what I'm going to mention now is most important. And that is the matters of creed. Jesus Christ taught Tawheed, Tawheed being the oneness of God. Three times in the New Testament, he was asked about the greatest commandment, and he replied, "Know, O Israel, thy God is one." We find that in Matthew, we find it again in Mark, we find it again in Luke. This is a teaching taken directly from the first commandment. And yet, once again, where do we find the oneness of God best maintained in religious creed? Among Trinitarian Christians or among Muslims who adhere to a belief in God as one God without compromise, without partners, without division? Similarly, Jesus Christ declared himself in multiple passages to be a man and a prophet. 88 times he called himself the Son of Man. Nowhere did he call himself the Son of God in a literal, begotten, not made sense. And if you doubt that claim, you have only to read my books for the evidence, for the scriptural passages, and for the refutations. Or stay tuned, because we expect to cover this in another episode. However, the fact of the matter is, if you are reading the scriptures from the Greek, not from the translation, and this is very important, but from the Greek, you will find that Jesus Christ called himself the Son of Man 88 times, never called himself the Son of God in a literal begotten, not made sense. Similarly, he called himself a prophet and never deified himself. Once again, where do we find the religion that respects Jesus Christ as what he claimed to be, a man and a prophet of God, if not in the religion of Islam? What I have presented here are a number of articles, pretty much the most important articles that we associate with the prophet Jesus Christ, pose the question, who exemplifies these teachings, these manners, this appearance, and most importantly, the creed that he taught? Who exemplifies these values better? The Christians who profess to follow the example and teachings of Jesus Christ, or the Muslims who also profess to follow the teachings and example of all of the prophets, Jesus Christ included? I would sum up by just saying that, as I have said before, as a doctor, there is an old saying in the teachings to become a doctor, and that is, when you hear hoofbeats, look for horses, not zebras, horses. When you see evidence clear in front of you, suggestive of a reality that you should accept, think of what is clear in front of your eyes and, obviously, accept it. We have a common claim among Christians and Muslims. Both claim to be following the chain of prophethood. Both claim to be exemplifying their manners, their appearance, and their teachings. But what I have shown in this session is that the essential elements of the prophet Jesus Christ are better maintained in the example, practices, and beliefs of the Muslims than they are among the modern-day Trinitarian Christians. So once again, this is Dr. Lawrence Brown from Interfaith Issues, and we hope to see you again on the next episode. Peace.